In the weeks before the execution, Williams' story became a lightning rod for groups on both sides of the death penalty question. At its center is a profound disagreement over the nature of redemption. Did years of good work in prison entitle Williams to a reprieve? Two people who have been front and center in the fight to save Williams join us today. Bruce Gordon, president and CEO of the NAACP, joins us via phone. And the Reverend Jesse Jackson joins me here in our New York studios. Gentlemen, I thank you very much. Reverend, you were with Stanley Tookie Williams yesterday. Talk to us about his last day and what he said to you.
Well, the very first meeting when I came in and he received me, said, "I feel good." And then said, "I've been here before. I've had bullets whizzing past my head. I've been in valleys and shadows of death before, and I'm full of hope." I got the sense as he talked at that time that he was feeling good about his new status. He'd had status as a gang leader. He says he regretted that because it made him a predator upon his people and dangerous, he said, only to black people. He said, but now he has this new status as a social transformer, kind of like Malcolm X Part II. He says, "I don't smile very much, but when I get letters from children, it makes me smile." And then he smiled. And so he was in that mood. And then we had prayer, and I left. But while I was out talking with CNN, the word came through the wire that he was to be executed. So I went back in and broke the news to him and to Barbara that the clemency had been denied. He grimaced a bit and smiled and told Barbara and the other sister, "Don't cry, let's be strong."
Barbara being a lifelong friend, co-author of the children's books.
Absolutely.
One who's been front and center with him for years.
And so devoted and so effective. And he then began to pursue legal pursuits. But I cannot help but think that in his last days, it was his new status as a social transformer. The funeral arrangements have not yet been made, but there will be a funeral in L.A., and he wants his cremated ashes to be spread across South Africa by Winnie Mandela.
Bruce Gordon, let me go to you. You've been front and center, actually going around the country talking about the redemptive nature of what we've seen in this man and the need to stand forth and say there is no redemptive value in killing him. Obviously, there's some disappointment in the end result here, but do you believe that this is a beginning rather than an end?
Well, it certainly is going to turn out to be a beginning for me. Like Reverend Jackson, I too spent time with Stan, and it's very easy to be in his presence for a short period of time and realize that this is a man with a positive spirit, totally redemptive, and could have brought tremendous value to young people around the world. Once I've sort of moved myself beyond the disappointment, if not the anger, frankly, associated with Governor Schwarzenegger's decision yesterday, it simply tells me that I have a newfound commitment to address the inequities in the social justice system. The criminal justice system has not served us well for years. The double standard is clear. I think it was clear in the case of Stan Williams. And as I start to move forward, yes, this is day one in a renewed effort to get a moratorium on the death penalty, to focus on the inequities in the criminal justice system, and to get the kind of equal justice that Reverend Jackson and others have fought for years.
By the way, Ed, clemency is not based upon guilt or innocence. It's based upon has there been a rehabilitative, redemptive process taking place, and that was obvious. So Schwarzenegger's argument that he did not apologize for people he said he did not kill is a diversion from the real point. What we know and what I think that Bruce is saying to us, double standard, with O.J. and Blake, quote-unquote Beretta, there was more circumstantial evidence, but they had dream team lawyers and no baggage. He felt he was on trial for his having been a Crip co-founder, not for what he did. Every news report says, Crip co-founder, convicted murderer, that blah. So once you lay out the predicate of Crip co-founder and convicted murderer, the therefore kill him becomes a kind of easy conclusion.
How much do you believe, and I'll ask both of you this, the idea of the repentant want from the governor and, quite frankly, many folks out here, particularly in the media, who were calling for that, outside of the fact that he, too, the day he died, denied being involved, they want that. And
he told me he would rather die than lie about something he didn't do. And it's a catch-22. If he said, I killed these four people in this way, They say, "Wow, we got our guy." So if he said he did it, they would kill him and feel more justified. If they say he didn't do it, they say he lied. So really, he was in the kind of catch 22, if not the catch 44.
Bruce Gordon, let me ask you this. Would it have mattered, frankly, had he suggested that he did, in fact, do this and not repent in that sense, other than to say, "I'm sorry"? But should the redemptive nature of what we've seen trump all of that?
I think that it would not have mattered in hindsight. In hindsight, I feel tricked. I don't think that the governor ever intended to grant clemency. I think that he milked the process. I think he used and took advantage of the celebrity, so to speak. Reverend Jackson's absolutely right. This was a situation where Stan, in my opinion, showed that he was a principled man. He knew that he thought, anyway, that possibly he could save his own life if he acknowledged a murder that he did or murders that he did not commit. And he refused to do that until his death. And I respect him for that. So I don't think at the end of the day, now that I've seen the process from start to finish, I don't think that Governor Schwarzenegger ever intended to grant Stan Williams clemency. I feel that the process was actually turned out to be a fraud.
And Bruce, don't forget Jennifer Porter in Tampa, Florida last year, a white female, drove a car through and killed two children, drug one child 130 feet, injured two others irreparably, fled the scene, did not stop. Her father washed the blood from the car. The next one, she went and taught children at school. While the mother pleaded on TV, "Whoever killed my children, please come forth." And someone saw a dent in the car and told the police to investigate. That's how they found her. She pleaded guilty of killing two children, injuring two more, fleeing the scene, and guess what? She got not a day in jail, but probation. It is that kind of moral flaw that makes people question this whole system.
Over and over again. And I would say this, because once again, this issue, Stan Williams was executed because he was a co-founder of the Crips. And the fact of the matter is, there is a larger gang that has existed in this country for decades, and that's the KKK. And we've got a gang leader in Mississippi who 41 years ago was directly involved in the murder of three civil rights leaders. He could only be convicted on manslaughter, and the justice system was considerate enough to release him from jail because they thought he was old and they didn't want him to die in jail. The double standard in this case is so clear and so dramatic that it gives us every reason to press the case until there's a moratorium on the death penalty and until we really start to zero in on the inequities in the criminal justice system.
Reverend, you've got the last 30 seconds. Literally, what do we take from all of this?
Is that he said he wanted his legacy to be anti-gang, anti-drug, anti-violence, and stop being a predator upon people. So he would want those who embrace him not to discredit his legacy by self-destructive street violence. In fact, honor his legacy with dignity and a renewed sense of ending gang warfare, violence, and self-destructive behavior.
All right, Bruce Gordon, president and CEO of the NAACP, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson, founder and president of the Rainbow Push Coalition. I thank you both for joining us today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.